Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Today, I want to talk about clothing. Yes, clothing. Clothing of all things. Prehistoric women had passion for television, for fashion. They found some figurines in ancient Europe settlement, and these figurines go back 7,500 years. Now, this is around Bosnia, where the earliest civilization that was found in Europe, around Bosnia and Serbia, Romania, Macedonia. And so they were doing some diggings, and they found these figurines. And according to these figurines, get this, the women were dressed, beautifully dressed, like today's women in short tops, mini skirts, they wore bracelets, they were clearly adorned in a way to seem attractive the way that women would be today. So they found paintings of these women, yet when they found the paintings of the men seemed to be fairly simple, and the men were mostly showing their bodies with very little very little artifacts, but for the women, there were all kinds of dress and adornment. So it brought me to a question: what are clothing all about? What are we doing with clothing, and what do we see when we see somebody wearing what they wear? How many different kinds of styles are there? Are there styles? Does style really make a difference? Does it make a difference? What is style? In style, out of style. The psychology of clothing, I tell you. A woman walks down the street, her attire catches everybody's eye, she's clothed in the latest fashion, she draws everybody's attention, yours. But also, she has a kind of conscious superiority because she knows she is dressed to the nines. She's dressed that absolutely well. Vanity, is it about vanity? Is that just what it's all about? So this is a question you're going to be asking yourself, and this becomes the interesting part of this. As you ask yourself questions about your perceptions about people's clothing, you're going to find going off in your brain a little voice that feels critical of different people doing different things. Like when you think about young men walking around wearing their pants, you know, three quarters of the way down their butt, and you see that as a fashion, some part of you is going to be, you're going to feel judgmental. So what I'm going to ask you to do is watch for your judgment. Because wherever you're judgmental, it means it's touching you in a place that's uncomfortable. That which we tend to criticize the most is usually a hidden part of ourselves. So we'll look for that, because that's what we do here on The Positive Mind at WBAI 99.5 FM today. Let's talk about different styles of clothing. Classic style. You know the classic style's main feature, moderation, tradition, contemporary fashionable trends with no extremes. Ann Taylor, people like that. Quite self-confident people who do nothing to look extraordinary. They don't wear the very, very, very best silk threads in their suits. It's not necessarily obviously Brooks Brothers, but it's clearly contemporary, moderate, and they're basically saying, I am here and I am wearing something that is perfect, but I don't need to wear anything special. And even then, in the classic style, of course, you could be perfectly classical. You could even up the level a little bit. Then there's a sporty style. So classic style is one. Sporty style is predominantly, you know, men wear this sporty style. Bankers, wealthy guys, they kind of use the sporty style as a way of saying, I'm so wealthy that I don't have to be concerned with business or about impressing people. So this is the yacht clothing, you know, these are the wearing the white sneakers and the yachting clothing and going around sporty style. And it was kind of an interesting thing because when we started turning to casual Fridays in offices, people got a chance to bring out their sporty style. And then sporty style became a new style all its own. You know, not necessarily just related to representing wealth, but you, how well do you show it? A third style is called grunge. It's a new word. You won't find it in the old dictionary. It's like a kind of shabby cloth, you know. It gave designers a good task because what they were doing is trying to make clothing look old and rotten. You know, they would soak perfectly good clothing in chloric acid. They'd create imitation spots, rips, you know, in jeans, strategic rips in jeans, patches. They do all these things because a grunge style has come into fashion. Tattered pullovers, dresses becoming unraveled, dirty jeans. And some dirty jeans are sold in some of the country's leading courtiers, shops and ordinary boutiques. $400 for a pair of dirty ripped jeans. Now watch that. You may hear somewhere inside of me a cynical voice. And you hear that cynical voice is reflecting my judgmentalism, which means I am somebody who grew up wearing tattered clothing. And now that I see people valuing them in some way when I used to hate them so much, it touches a part of me personally. I want to ask you about yourself. Does it touch some part of you personally when you hear this? Do you judge grunge? Do you think grunge is no good? I'm going to be taking your calls today about your opinion about certain things, and I want you to watch for your judgment because you'll learn about yourself because that's what we do. The positive mind. We teach you about you. Another style of clothing, the exotic, ethnic style. You could wear, influenced by Oriental motives, by Arabian, Chinese, Hindu. The choice testifies to your thirst for traveling, mental escape to exotic countries where everything's not so gray. Exotic style, flowing clothing, you know, clothing that are like kind of show your Buddhist nature, something that doesn't really accentuate your body, but this kind of loose flowing. They call that the ethnic style. Now, the opposite of that is military style. You know, men have a penchant for epaulets. You know, and epaulets are those things that are on the shoulder, these two little tabs that are ridiculous that are on the shoulder that nobody ever uses that has a button on them that they used to be used in the military to carry something on your shoulder, you know, a strap, and it would hold the strap in place. Women like this style, too. You don't have to be a psychologist to understand that that means that some women want to escape from the feminine. They are more attracted to the masculine, and the masculine in this case is the military style. So many women wear military to convey the message that I am strong and I am powerful and I'll kick your butt. And many men find that very attractive. They say, ooh, you know, this is no pushover person. And then there's the country style. And then there's a country style. And the country style, you know, it's kind of you look like you're country music. Variegated skirts, loose blouses, decorated with patterns, laces, drawn work, shoes without heels, simple beads, straw hats. It's kind of a style that is a sign of nostalgia on country life, or it's kind of a testimony that you're connected to the earth. You know, I'm an earthy kind of person. Chintz skirts saying with one accord with their possessor, we are not synthetic, we are natural. It's an affinity for the natural fabrics of life. And lastly, there's a femme fatale. Now, I'm talking about only women, but there's men who dress as a femme fatale as well. And this is clearly everlasting. It's marked with fashionable attributes. High heel shoes, skirts that are revealing, deep décolleté, you know, your bust is showing, strings, open work stockings, a woman kind of seen as somebody who is trying to get and attract men's lust, specifically. Strangely enough, the choice of this style does not always mean a woman's heightened sexuality. We can rather say that such women do not carry any they don't necessarily see the advantage. But they dress this way kind of automatically. Sigmund Freud used to talk about a histrionic personality. He talked about women who attract men so that when the men become attracted, they could get angry at them. And he talked about this as common. This is what he called hysteria. He said this is something that is there. You know, I guess maybe he was making up for his own horniness in some way. You know, Sigmund Freud, he would look at women and go, what do I do with this? And in fact, he did say that. Women, what do they want anyway, was a famous quote of Sigmund Freud's. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to ask you about your opinions about clothing. So there it is. I mean, we have all of these different opinions, and how you dress. Well, let me just take that one issue in particular. Let's look at short skirts. Let's look at short skirts from a perspective of why do people wear them? Now, I asked a number of people, why do women wear short skirts? And they came up with rather obvious answers, to show their legs. But then the question went a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper, and a bunch was uncovered from that. So I think you might enjoy that discussion from both a man's point of view and a woman's point of view. You're going to hear that what happens in the world with style and with evocative style is that it has a lot of response. And I'm hoping today to bring you a picture of how people feel in general about other people's clothing. Like, what's attractive about a man's clothing? What should a man wear? Do you like a man in a three-piece suit? Do you like him dressed to the nines? Do you like him showing that he has really good taste? Do you like his tie to be absolutely clean? Do you like him wearing a tie? Do you like an open shirt? Do you like a man who's sporty? Do you like a man who's wearing, you know, really loose clothing? Do you like his clothing to be tight? Or are you a boot person? Are you a person who looks at the shoes and says, the shoes tell the story? What's attractive to you? Why don't we just ask you these questions about men and women? In fact, I'm asking you many questions at the same time, and I'll have you call in and give your opinion, if you can, with as little judgment as possible, 212-209-2800. I'm asking you about clothing, and then I'm going to present you some fascinating research on that they discovered on what people wear and how it's tied to your hormonal balance at the moment, at the very moment. What your hormones are doing at the moment affects what you wear and what you're attracted to. It's almost like, you know, you don't have any choice. I mean, think about pheromones. Think about smell. There's an article that came out just, let me see, I have it here somewhere, yesterday in Psychology Today, A Sniff of Your Sweetie. Here it is, you have a comfort, you have an attraction to your partner's clothing when your partner's clothing carry the odor of your partner. So nobody wants their partner to smell dirty, right? But wearing your partner's T-shirt when you go to bed at night can be a very, very comforting thing, especially if he's not around. Now, if you're a man and you're wearing your girlfriend's T-shirt, you might be uncomfortable. Maybe. So if you've ever intentionally smelled a partner's clothing for comfort, sometimes smell has a great deal to do with our attractiveness. Smell is one thing. Then we have another thing. We've learned about how eyes make all the difference, the way a person looks at you. If a person looks at you with fear, if they have fear in their eyes, their clothing disappear. If they have rage in their eyes, their clothing disappear. So smell and eyes and, you know, the person's eyes make a great effect on how you're going to perceive them. But then, considering that everything is normal, considering their eyes are not threatening, and that their smell is not overwhelming, then it's what you choose to wear. What are you choosing to wear? Hey, you people who like to wear black, you know who you are. You feel a little overweight, you put on black, you think it hides the black a little bit, right? We know about black. I know about black. I thought it was sophisticated, and then I realized that. Really, I'm too chubby. I'm wearing my black, right? When I feel thin, I wear my other clothing, my bright colors. 212-209-2900. Going to take your calls in a couple of minutes. I think I'll tell you a joke. A joke about, it's time for a joke. There's a girl dog and three boy dogs. three male dogs and a female dog. The three male dogs are the best of their breeds. And the female dog wants to select who is the most intelligent dog to breed with, because if I breed with the most intelligent one, my offspring will have a better chance than if I breed with a stupid one. Now, this is, you know, natural selection. This is actually what happened to humans. Humans always try to select for a better survival through higher intelligence, and creativity is very attractive in men. For women, because it means that that person's going to have better solutions to solving problems. Okay, so back to the dogs. So the female dog says, I want to find a dog who can say the word cheese and the word liver in the same sentence in an interesting way. So the Rottweiler, who is one of the three dogs, stands up and says, I like cheese and liver. And the female dog looks at him and says, oh, you think that's creative? What a, you know, that's so simplistic. You can't possibly be my partner. So she goes over to the German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd, having hearing the criticism, says, I hate cheese and liver. And she says, oh, that's no more creative than the first dog. I don't, how can it be? The only one left is a Chihuahua, you know, but he's the best of the Chihuahuas around. And the Chihuahua says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's mine. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. That's the joke. Leave her alone. She's mine. We're going to take your calls before I get in trouble. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. And hi, welcome back. Hi there.
Hi, it's Jim from Long Island. How you doing, Armand?
Hello, Jim from Long Island. Jim from all the way in Long Island?
Patchogue.
Jim from Patchogue. Hi there.
Halfway out. I'm reading a book by David Brooks called Bobos in Paradise, and that's an acronym for bourgeois bohemians.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how during the week, obviously they're bourgeois, they work for investment banks and major law firms, but on the weekend, they're at the cafe drinking a cappuccino, wearing the very worn out clothes. I said, you know, it's just weird for some reason that I, you know, try not to be judgmental, but it really bothers me that people who work during the week and work for this really cold corporate uber capitalist type of system all of a sudden now want to look like this bohemian artsy type, and it just doesn't seem like it has a lot of integrity.
You know, see, isn't judgment a wonderful thing? Judgment gives you such wonderful clues. So let me ask you something. Was your father ever happy with you? Truth.
I guess sometimes, I think.
What did he want from you the most?
I'm still trying to figure that out, I think.
Yeah, so I guess he wasn't ever happy with you.
Maybe not.
You know what I mean? And you know, why do I say this? Why do I go to this place? Because here you are trying your best to own up to become something. You know, and you struggle real hard, Jim. You struggle real hard to become the kind of person that your father would be proud of. And then you find these guys who are kind of leisurely walking around, and they probably got fathers that love them, you know what I mean? And when you look at them without even knowing it, you think you represent them because of their corporate identity, but it's really because they are living an easier life than you. And you tried hard. Tell me how hard you've tried in your life. I am sure you have practically bled your knuckles to the bone, you know, trying to do something that is successful. Is that true?
Yeah, and I've always seemed to never obtain it.
Yeah, so you're one of these people who achieve a great deal of things, but you never get to the end of the goal, the end of it. There's like never this, the big achievement, the big bucks, the big money. But I'll make you a bet along the way, Jim. You've helped a lot of people. That somewhere along life, you've graced a lot of people.
I think I have.
Yeah. What?
I think I have.
Yeah. And that's what happens. We get people like you who are generous. You know, who are not, you know, holding everything back, and maybe you won't be as successful. But somewhere along the line, and I could certainly hear it in your heart, you know, you're good enough for me, and certainly my kind of guy.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. You see how judgment can lead you right there. Of course, I'm faster than most people at determining it. I'm a quickie, you know, I'm one of these guys. That's what I do. But here's another interesting bit of information. We're going to take another call in a minute. Muslims, you know, now, Muslim dress codes. I know I'm going to get letters about this. The burqas. You know, a burqa is a great ideal. Right? Wearing a burqa, it's a great idea. It's their clothing that women have worn for generations, cover head to toe. So for a number of reasons, religious reasons, I'm not even going to try to state what the reasons are. However, a recent article, let me see where this comes from. I want to make sure I cite this thoroughly. University of India. Conservative Muslim dress. Here it is. Causes a vitamin D deficiency in women by limiting their exposure to sunlight. Who would have ever thunk about it? Who would have thought about it? You would think, hey, aren't they lucky they're not going to get skin cancer? On the other hand, because they have so little exposure to cancer, they have deficiencies in vitamin D. Now, deficiencies in vitamin D among Arab and East Indian women, a follow-up study investigated the effect of vitamin D supplements on them, and many of whom covered themselves entirely, and they found that the supplements turned them around physically from a lot of the illnesses they had. This is in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. One of the researchers concluded when sunlight exposure is limited, much higher dietary intake of vitamin D is needed than is currently recommended, and this is especially true for those who breastfeed, because if you breastfeed and you wear a burqa, you have to somehow get additional vitamin D. At least one commenter thought is saying it's not higher doses of vitamin D that are needed, but rather, well, what did he say? I can't read that. He said lower doses of radicalism, whatever that means. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. The main thing we're looking for is we are looking for clothing, and we're talking about clothing. We could talk about men's clothing, you know. We always talk about women's clothing, but I am curious about something. What is your opinion about specifically short skirts? And why do I say this? Because that's what they discovered from 7,000 years ago. You know, there they are, you know, women wearing short skirts. So it must have had some meaning. Nowadays, there's a new fashion where you could wear a short skirt over tights, and it's become the style. But what do you feel about it as a woman? What do you feel about it as a man? What do you feel about it as a woman who wears it or as a woman who doesn't wear it? What do you feel about it as a man who sees it or may want to wear it? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ensarara again.
Ensarara, how are you?
I'm very, very good. Before I, you know, comment on what you're saying, I think, and I'm sure you've thought about it before, you really, really, and I'm very serious, but I think it would be great, you really ought to write a book. I mean, you should put down, like, Armand's wisdom. Or that's what I do. When I write down the things you say, I put down Armand's sayings or whatever, and I've got several pages of them. You know, not even, I guess you could categorize them, you could put them in certain orders, or not. But so many of the things you say, people, right, right, oh, yeah, never thought about that.
Did I just get you with one I said a little earlier?
Two of them, yeah.
Which two?
The one, first of all, about judgment and how judgment always touches a part of you. I mean, when you judge something, look at how that touches you personally.
Yeah, because you're looking at something that's a part of you, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one, which is connected to that but also applies in terms of people I know, a friend of mine who tends to be somewhat angry about certain things going on, it is because this person is trying to please and has never pleased their parent. You know, that connection is definitely there. Angry at what's going on because they didn't please their parent. Their parent was always critical, negatively, well, critical, you know, of what they were doing. And it applies like, you know, two and two adding up to four.
So I want to, let me make a comment about the Armandisms. Somebody sent me a bunch of them, and they put them all together. You know, the trouble with writing a book is that it does flow so nicely, and when you try to put something together in that kind of way, I've been part of a couple of books in my life, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't have the same beauty as it does when we do it on the air. So, Ensarara, you write the book.
Okay, and I'll send it to you. I mean, because I have lots of your things. I have a particular book, different. It's called Dare to Write a Great Book, and it's not in very good order as to, you know, the various information they give to writers.
Listen,
but it's all there.
If you put it all together, mm-hmm. we will put it on our website, and we'll have it a little link, and it'll say, "Here are some Armandisms as collected by Ensarara." And anybody who wants to be a part of that, they can send me an email, and I'll forward it on to you.
I got about 50 so far, so I'll keep on doing a few more.
Good. Now, what's the other thing you're going to say? We have 2 minutes before our break.
That's, I think, kind of about all, except that when I hear certain things from you, yes, it does give me a great deal of insight into, you know, what I'm thinking, how I apply to people. And yes, I think it would be very difficult to be you, because every time I tell somebody something that applies to them, they're like, usually they don't quite want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it.
You
got to
find a way. Oh, here's something I have a quick question I want to ask you. You said something a while back. You gave a way to make a suggestion to another person when you wanted to say something that you figured they probably wouldn't like, but it was a way of prefacing so that, you know, it becomes, you know, less noxious, a way of saying it. The first couple of words kind of, I, for want of a better term, kind of disarms them.
Oh, one of the things that happens when people are angry and they're showing a lot of anger, and there's a phrase, I mean, this is one of my favorites. Whenever somebody is treating you in a nasty way, anybody treating you in a nasty way ever, you say to them the following thing. There seems to be something about me that's pissing you off. Something that I am doing that's pissing you off. Could you tell me what it is so I could stop doing it?
Beautiful. Okay.
Now, what's gorgeous about that is it completely disarms the other person, because they're acting in an annoying way because they can't admit to their anger, number one. There seems to be something about me that's pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I could stop doing it? You immediately capitulate. You say to them, whatever it is that I'm doing that's upsetting you so much, tell me what it is, and I'm going to give you just what you want. I'll stop doing it. It's an amazing tool.
I've got a great subject for you that I'm sure you'll love. The same things that you're telling people are the same things that, and again, obviously you're not doing it in a negative way, but they're the areas that the con artist on the street actually knows and uses.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing, you know, because it's about manipulating people, you know, either, you know, positively and not wanting to, you know, direct them, or actually wanting to. And of course, if it works, you have the ability, and again, you have the psychopath who just does it well, but maybe in kind of a negative way.
I want to thank you for calling in. We got to take a short break. Nice to hear from you again.
Take care, Armand.
Okay, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. When I come back, a little special music, dancing music for Jennifer. Jennifer, this is going to be for you when I get back from the break. Jennifer's down at WBAI answering the telephones. She is an amazing person, and Jennifer deserves a big round of applause and certainly some dance music. So I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Señoras, señores, mi corazón. digas así, que no me digas tener
razón.
Mi corazón. Isn't that hot? Okay, Jennifer, sit down now. Anybody who ever calls WBAI, would you please say hello to Jennifer when she answers the phone? Say hello, Jennifer, username. And thank her very much for the work that she does, which is quite beautiful. Here we go. Here's a study between women's clothing, sexual motivation, hormonal levels, and partnership status. Get that. Partnership status means single or not single, partner present or not present. They analyze this in Austrian discotheques. Who else would do it but the Austrians, right? They go into an Austrian discotheque, and they digitally analyzed clothing choice to determine the amount of skin display, sheerness, and clothing tightness. So we're now basing it on three things. It was during the summer, so we didn't have to deal with pantyhose or leg coverings. And so what you had was they were going three criteria now. How much skin are you showing? How tight are your clothing? How much of your body is shown through your tightness? Or how sheer are your clothing? Now think about yourself. If you're a woman, think about yourself. Or if you're a man and feel like dressing this way too. But which of these three do you tend to lean towards? Showing your body through your clothing? Showing your body your skin where it's available, or sheerness, meaning having people look through your clothing, add undergarments and stuff like that, seeing through. So what they found was that hormone levels influenced the clothing that a woman chose. Now, hormone levels. How could hormone levels be different? You see, when a woman has a cycle, in a woman's cycle, there are times that there are peaks when she is in peak mating time, and there are times when she is in the lowest mating time. The best I can make of this is the estradiol, E-S-T-R-A-D-I-O-L, one of the three estrogens. The estradiol is the one that is the highest during ovulation. So when you're ovulating, you've got the highest level of estradiol. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Or estradiol. Estradiol, I think, is the way it's pronounced. The clothing choice, however, they found that people who had the highest estradiol level tended to wear the sheerest clothing. Now, that's very fascinating. Sheerest. What does sheerest do to people? When asking men, what did they find the sexiest? What do you think they chose? The more skin? Tight fitting? Or sheer? You got a vote? Got a vote? What do you think the men like? Tightest? You know, the more skin-witting over the shears. Well, for a man who was looking for sex, the thing that he was most sexually responsive to was sheer. Something you see through. So therefore, the whole theory of negligees, right? I mean, whoever thought of negligee? Why would somebody prefer a negligee to a naked body? Well, according to the theory, they prefer, men preferred sheerness of clothing to more skin available. So rather than having, they found themselves responding for sex, responding with more stimulation towards sheerness than towards more skin available. And certainly the least of them was in the sexual response to people who are wearing fitted clothing. However, on the other hand, the men who are not just looking, but looking for partners, looking for girlfriends, looking for somebody they could stay with for a period of time, they were attracted to the tight-fitting clothing. They wanted more fitting and less skin and less sheerness. So it actually made a difference. So it seems that the clothing put out some kind of a sexual signal. Then the interactions, it gets really fascinating. The motivation of the woman wearing the clothing, the motivation of the man responding to the clothing, the way he responds to the clothing. Did you ever hear of the jiggle response? I have to tell you about the jiggle response. The jiggle response, I know we could find this somewhere in nature. We could find, we got to look it up. Look it up on the internet, you're going to find jiggle. Jigglemia. Okay, jigglomia, jigglephobia, the jiggle response. Long time ago, when people were running around the savannah trying to figure out how they're going to survive and how are they going to kill some animal to eat, they would hunt. And they would hunt. One of the things humans did that the other animals didn't do so well is they hunted in packs with weapons. So what they would do is they would signal each other, you know, they'd stand on a mountain, they'd have spears, they'd go, you know, and it would mean, you know, here comes some deer or here comes some buffalo, and the other guy'd say, and they would respond, and they would respond. And now all these guys could get together, and somehow they could jump up on an animal and kill an animal and eat it, which I didn't think is fair, but that's how you survived. That's how you got to be here. If somebody didn't do that back then, you wouldn't be here. If your ancestor got eaten instead of ate, no you. Okay. So they decided that they were going to, and what they were looking for is that which is going to be the most nutritious. And what do you think was the most nutritious? Anything with fat on it. If an animal is running by and it has a lot of excess fat on it, of course that's a better animal to eat than an animal with no fat on it. So what they were responding to was the jiggle. The jiggle of the flesh running by meant better meat, better food. The jiggle response. Some people hypothesize that that is why men are attracted to women and women's bodies. They like the jiggle effect. They like women to jiggle. And they like this kind of bouncing bodies, which is different than, of course, the people who work out in gyms and have 0% fat, right? The people who have no fat on their bodies, they don't jiggle. So they may not get the response. But the jiggle response is supposedly responsible for man's obsession with breasts. You know, why men are obsessed with that? I don't know. I mean, this is just science. What does science know? But what about you? The question I'm asking you is about your choice of clothing, how you feel about choices of clothing. What do you feel about what you wear? Why do you wear it? What's your intention? I mean, a man's idea that a woman wears a miniskirt means she wants to have sex with anybody who comes along is just absolutely stupid. You know, it's a silly thing. Is a woman saying, I have a body, I want to show it off, and it means you're welcome to it? So, I don't know, or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you feel differently. 212-209-2900. I'd love to open this up to get more of your opinion. Let's hear from you. We'll take some fast phone calls, okay? 212-209-2900. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. Hello.
Yes, could you talk just a little louder?
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm going to give you my initials, which is K, because you know me.
Okay, K, I know you.
Okay. I have two comments to make. Earlier when you started talking, you talked about ethnicity, and you mentioned a lot of ethnic groups, but you didn't mention Africans or African-Americans. That's one thing. I thought that was curious.
When I talked about the description of, hold on a second, I got
you
it right here.
You talked about the description of
description
ethnic,
of exotic clothing.
And ethnic clothing.
Ethnic clothing include, this is not my description, but it's a good point.
And you did not mention black.
It does not say black. It says ethnic clothing are Hindu, Chinese, Arabian, and
right.
other Oriental motives, and this is specifically Oriental motives.
Okay, but
motifs.
Black people or wear ethnic clothing also.
Oh, no, it doesn't say that black, only these people wear.
Okay, but I just thought that was interesting.
This is called the Oriental ethnic style, which
okay.
would not include black people.
Okay,
but do you think there's a black people style?
No. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned a number of ethnic groups, but you did not mention blacks.
Oh, I didn't mention Scandinavians either.
Okay, well, I just thought it was interesting.
But thank you.
Okay, the other thing is that in terms of style, my style is a combination of ethnicity, sophistication, and bohemian. That's the style. I like some trendy things, but it has to be a mixture of bohemian and ethnicity because I like to make a statement with my clothing.
Unique is the word
yes,
about your clothing.
Exactly.
You dress like nobody else, and you have styles. You could take clothing that cost $5 or clothing that wear $500, and you could mix them together in a way that nobody else would wear them, I'll bet.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do. That's why I buy a little of this from Neiman and Marcus and Saks, and I get the rest of the stuff from flea markets.
So you must be are you an artist?
Yes, in some ways.
In what way?
Okay, I write. I am a retired teacher. I like music, and I travel a lot, and I have a lot of artwork in my house.
So you would be
I'm eclectic.
Yeah, you're an artistic kind of person.
Yes, I am.
In your clothing choice as well. Do you dress for anybody else, or do you dress for yourself?
I dress for myself, but I have to be comfortable. There's certain styles that I just absolutely refuse to wear, and not because I dislike them. It's just that they're not for me.
And are they not for you because they don't look good on you?
And I'm not comfortable in them. I like to be comfortable, but I also like to be fashionable.
Okay, so the question I have is, are you looking to attract anybody with what you wear?
Absolutely not. I am happily married.
And you don't care. Well, what about your husband? Don't you want to attract him?
But he likes the way I dress. I like to wear black. But he does not like me to wear black as much as I like to wear it, so I've stopped wearing a lot of black.
And how does he feel about sheer things as opposed to tight-fitting things?
Oh, he definitely do not like for me to wear tight clothes because he thinks they're not attractive.
So he has some feelings. So do you wear attractive clothing for him? So you do wear clothing?
I like when he gives me comments, absolutely.
Do you think it's important, let me ask you a question, do you think it's important, and I know this is going to sound funny, but since I have you and you're so insightful and you're so introspective, maybe you could answer, do you think it's important to keep your husband turned on as opposed to just being yourself and he should stay turned on, you know what I mean? Do you think that's important? Because if he was a man, I'd ask the same question. Do you think it's important for your mate to perceive you as a turn-on? You know how men walk around, sometimes they stink and they wear dirty T-shirts and they don't care. Is it a man's job to be attractive for his mate? Is it a woman's job to be attractive for a mate? What do you think?
I think attractiveness is a very relative term.
I mean sexy.
Sexy, I would definitely not consider myself a sexy woman. And I would consider myself a sensuous woman, but I am certainly not sexy.
Okay, so as a sensuous woman,
mm-hmm.
do you accentuate your sensuality
Yes, I do.
Great. That's a wonderful thing. And thank you. Thank you very much for calling in.
And thank you for taking my call.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand Mill. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand the schoolgirl outfits for young girls who are pre-teens or early teenagers. I don't understand it. It seems so provocative as a style. When I was a kid, we used to, you know, I went to Catholic school. In Catholic school, oh my God, everything was covered. Nobody got any vitamin D. I mean, all the girls in my class, they were vitamin D-less, you know? But there was, the other people did wear it, and what I notice about some of the, especially on the Upper East Side, in those schools, the women are wearing, the young girls are wearing these short skirts, and every head is turning to look at them. What's the idea here? Why are we trying to turn on construction workers to 13-year-olds? Why are we doing that? I mean, it would seem like it's purposeful. One would wonder, and I'm not saying this out of, I don't understand it. I don't understand the style. I don't understand why there should be whistles and catcalls for every young girl who goes to early high school or whatever those schools are, you know, the 10th grade. What are they doing? What's the idea here? Somebody must know. 212-209-2900. Is that a uniform? You know? I don't know. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Armand.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Nelson.
Hello, Nelson.
And I listen to you every day, and today's the first time I called, and I got through.
Hey, Nelson, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Make sure you linger for a while. Don't get off too fast.
Okay. Dr. Armand, one of the things that drives me crazy is today's style for guys that they have to wear their pants below their butt with their underwear showing.
Uh-huh.
I try to more or less say, what is the reason? What is the logic? What is it, a sex thing? What are they trying? You know, because I find that uncomfortable.
You've tried doing it.
Well, kind of like trying to understand. I have a 12-year-old son, and he tries to get away with it, but I always catch him. And I tell him, listen, even if you're going to run, your pants are going to be going down your legs. You're going to trip. You know, and I try to understand what is the logic behind it, and I can't get it through my head.
Well, I can tell you what the logic is behind it is your son is feeling powerless. Your son is feeling powerless in a world, in a society that is more powerful than him. And he's at that age where he's got to do things for follow the school and follow the rules, and he feels powerless in it. So what your son is imitating is prison clothing. You see, in prison, they don't have belts.
Right.
And since they don't have belts in clothing, what happens is the underwear is showing. You know, the pants are falling and the underwear is showing. And that became a style. And so what it is it's a style that's picked up to show, to say, I rebel against you. I've heard of a city. I forget what city it was. There's some city in the East Coast that outlawed pants being worn that low. It made it actually against the law. They're giving tickets to kids for wearing it that way. But, you know, it's a comment about the society, and it's a comment that we're all making. And the question not is how silly of them to wear it this way, because if they ever looked at us wearing, you know, our low jeans and, you know, looked at Elvis, probably somebody would have criticized us as well, or whatever
right.
We were wearing, you know. I mean, when miniskirts face came, how about itsy-bitsy yellow polka-dot bikini when that first came out? That thing would be considered so old-fashioned now compared to the threads that people wear and they call bathing suits, you know?
But right.
So every time we look back, so these young people are just saying what young people have always said is, I feel powerless in a
right.
big world.
What
and
I
the thing
to
that you could do with your son is you take your son and you reinforce. Instead of telling him what he should do, ask him questions. And when he gives you answers, say, that's very interesting. Thank you very much.
Right, right. What I try to
learn
do is,
that.
Like, more or less send the message back in reverse, in the sense that, like, try on a suit. look how much different you're going to look and the reaction people are going to have when they see you in a suit. You know,
there's a trouble with it. You see, the problem with it is, at some point, if you want to empower your son, stop giving him advice.
Okay.
Take his advice.
Right, right. I understand. Huh?
Get him to advise you. Ask him what's the best way to hit a baseball.
Well, I'm a baseball manager.
Oh, well, I guess he'd be better not ask him what's the best way.
But, yes, no, I understand what you're saying, though. Yes, yes, definitely.
Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure.
Okay, nice to have you on the air.
Ah, thank you, thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one more call. Hi there. Hello there, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good. You know, I wanted to mention something because I always get this question. I'm in my 40s, but I wear suits all the time.
Uh huh.
I guess I would call an African American.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my problem. The reason that I wear suits all the time is because I don't like being bothered by the police all the time, honestly speaking.
Makes a lot of sense.
So it's more of a tactical weapon than an obvious choice for attire. You know, I think that there are a lot of people, just like you said, the young man with the way that they dress. And, you know, just to let you know, actually the pants sagging below the underwear was a sign that those who were homosexual within the penal institutions would let you know who they are. That was their sign.
Oh, so what does it mean? So
yeah, it goes a little bit deeper than what you mentioned.
So are you homosexual if you let your pants hang down or what?
No, I'm saying within jail culture.
But within the jail culture, what is the clothing? How do they signify it? If you wear the pants really low, it means you are homosexual or not homosexual? What does it mean?
Well, first I got to be clear. Jail and the penitentiary are two different things.
Yeah, right.
So let's say the penitentiary. In the penitentiary, that means that you're homosexual and that you're accepting offers.
I see. If you wear your pants low.
And, you know, back to me at this point, what I was saying was, you know, it's more of
a... So you've been in jail?
Yes.
So you wear suits to knock them off so that they don't suspect you? Because...
I think you're not quite... I probably need to qualify it.
Go ahead.
I'm not a homosexual one.
No, but
and
I meant...
I am saying is I wear my clothes this way so the police will not bother me.
That's what I meant, too.
Oh, all right, great.
Yeah, great. That's a great strategy. I used to do that. You know, every now and then I have to give a lecture somewhere, and I have to dress up, and I dress up really sharp, and I do that. And I find that, you know, if I'm going to go talk at a hospital or something like that, I've got to wear the uniform that they're going to respect just to get in the door. But I think it's all kind of silly. But, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that you've mastered the game to that level, even though, from what I hear in your personality, all people would have to do is hear you say a few words, and they would be immediately attracted to you for who you are rather than what you wear, because you sound like a very wise man.
If you're running for mayor, I'm voting for you.
I'll do the same for you. Listen, I got to get going because we're out of time.
All right, take
but
care.
But I thank you so
day.
Much for calling in.
You're very welcome.
Sure. Bye. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a positive mind. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. And to continue with more of The Positive Mind. If you want to get in touch with me, you could call at 212-757-4488 or through email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Don't forget to visit the WBAI.org website as well, my friends. Back with you tomorrow at 1.
Hey, listener, did you know that when you make a pledge during our drives or make any donations before or after our drives, you and your employer can help support WBAI? That's right. Simply ask your employer whether they have a matching gift program, submit your request to them, they'll send us the paperwork. The paperwork should be submitted to WBAI Subscriptions Department, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
Yeah.